FBI Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome everyone to Dare to Think Out Loud here on this wonderful Friday noon or afternoon or morning or where, whatever the time frame that you happen to be in. And I am here with my good friend, Dave Scorpio, and LB will not be with us for a couple of weeks. LB has taken a much-deserved sabbatical, and he left this in our hands to take care of for a couple of weeks. And so we will proceed to do the very best we can in that endeavor. And come on, Dave. Tell the folks about your show and about what you do, and then we'll jump into our subject matter for today.
Oh, great. Well, Mike, this is going to be a good show. Well, you know, my show comes on Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m., Studio A, and I'm just trying to cover the uncover the thin veneer of lies and deception that sort of mind control the population and are giving this giant dog and pony show that we're living through right now.
That's great, Dave, and I hope folks will listen in. And I promised the folks in northern Idaho that I would pitch their program for this weekend in northern Idaho, and these folks are up there doing the good fight and actually bringing it to local elected officials. And there's some wonderful people up there, the Copples, Wendy, our good friend, and others. And they are up there, Todd especially. They are up there working their behinds off for rightful liberty, people. And they need to have your support. If you're in that area, make sure you go out and support them this weekend. So with that out of the way, I would also like to say that Revolution Radio is a listener-supported platform. It is one of the last bastions of free speech out there in America, and they depend on the people, the listeners, for support. So if you can, please support the Revolution Radio. Go to freedomslips.com, and there are several venues of which you could make a contribution. Well, Dave, one of the things that you and I talked about before coming on the show, and one of the things I want to bring out is this, and that is I was really troubled earlier in the week, and I have been troubled on several other occasions by folks who just are acting irrationally, especially with this election experience coming on, and people making absurd statements, otherwise intelligent people saying some things that are just absolutely unreal. And the one, I guess, that tipped my scale this week was an old-time friend who came out and said that even when Trump violates the Constitution, he should be given a pass because the liberals have violated the Constitution in the past and he is just doing what they do. Now, I that one just absolutely knocked me backwards. I lost it over that one. And okay, it's if someone else robs a bank, then it's okay if I rob one. that is just because it's somebody else did it and they might have believed something different than I did. So I get to rob a bank to get even. So I am that one is lost on me. And Terry and I discussed some of that last night. But this, I believe that there has been a mind control effort in this country that has been going on for multi decades. And I have gone back and looked into that on multiple occasions. I have written some articles on that. And one of the first things that we are sure of was the wonderful program by the Christians in Action, otherwise known in America as the CIA, who embarked on a program called MK Ultra. And that MK was mind control. Of course, you know, mind control is spelled with a C, but they used the K. So they embarked on mind control. And ironically, what did they use as a primary source when they first began? And that was drugs, because they found out, they thought first that if they hypnotized a subject, that they could get that subject to do whatever they wanted to. And then they learned that it would not work, because a person, even under hypnosis, would not do what they thought was morally wrong. So they went into the program of, well, let's give them some form of drug, intoxicant, something mind-altering drug, and let's give them something and then try the hypnosis. And they found out that when they did that, that the hypnosis worked, and they could program people to do whatever they wanted to. And I would suggest for people who would like to get into this, if you haven't read any, there is a great book out there by Kathy O'Brien called Trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, Transformation of America. And again, they used, drugs at that time, psilocybin, LSD, and some others. But what is to say now, Dave, that they aren't using prescription drugs for the exact same purpose as opening the minds of the people to their programming and indoctrination? And one of the reasons I say that is because when we look at especially antidepressants and the rise in the use of antidepressants in this country, and especially this was something that kind of surprised me when I got into the study of this, is that especially in women, the antidepressant use of antidepressants has risen something like 400 to 500% since 9/11. And that is a little bit scary when you stop and think we already have alcohol and we have illegal drugs, which are being used. And then we have this lunacy of prescription drugs. And, you know, let's think about the oxycodone fraud that we had for so long and the millions of people that were addicted to that.
And yeah, the overdoses, you know, like 50,000 people a year were dying of that. And, you know, what's interesting, you know, you say prescription drugs, people look at it as medicine because they got it from their doctor. So it's not a drug, it's medicine. And, you know, a lot of these drugs are essentially a chemical lobotomy. And I believe that with this coming vaccine, part of the component of it is going to be some type of mind control to sort of dull people's emotions and dull people's passions. I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking part of the agenda might be.
Oh, I agree. Well, here is one of the things that I thought of, and I looked at this, is how do you get millions of people to absolutely, without a doubt, totally trust an individual in all respects for everything. And when 99.99% of the people have never met this man or talked with him personally. So how do people place all it's become a cult? But I think I have the answer to why it's become a cult. But if you look at this cult of worship that surrounds Trump, to the point to where I read a statistic recently where 20-some% of the people on Trump's side said there was absolutely nothing he could do that would change their faith in him. Nothing he could do.
Wow.
So, talking with a good friend of mine, of course, you know Misty, and I was talking with Misty and I said, well, what we have here is Donald Trump has become the Jim Jones of the American political scene.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. Yeah.
So,
and you know, Trump has essentially been in the media and a very, you know, popular personality since the 1980s when he wrote that book, Art of the Deal. I think that's what started off his media extravaganza.
Well, I think that's true. And as you and I discussed before that, if we jump back a couple of years and look at the other Republican figure that became a god, almost a cult of worship, was Ronald Reagan. And what was his profession?
Yeah, another actor. And of course, you know, his the genesis of his campaign or his political, you know, action was at Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, well, exactly. And even, you know, today, if you bring up to the wonderful conservative group of America that Ronald Reagan had more members of his cabinet indicted on criminal charges than any other president in the history of this country, you know, you are immediately, you must be a liberal for bringing up such a subject. But even if it's true, you still must be a liberal, because why would you say something like that? So how do we get control of people's minds? You got the prescription drugs, you've got illegal drugs, and who is the mastermind? For those of you who don't know, who would you say is the mastermind behind illegal drugs across the planet, Dave?
Well, it'd have to be the CIA.
Well, exactly. You know, that without a doubt, the CIA ran drugs all throughout Southeast Asia during Vietnam using a platform called Air America. And of course, then we had so much of the poppy heroin crops coming out of Afghanistan. And so under the regime there of in prior to our attack on Afghanistan in 2001, you had the use of the production of heroin and poppies had been dramatically reduced. And so then we do an invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, a bombing and then an invasion. And then within the next 2 years, the production of poppies and the production of heroin goes right back to normal before the Taliban, goes back to levels increasing all the time. And then if you don't want to believe that America was involved in that, go on the internet and Google poppy fields being guarded by American soldiers. And you will see that and one of the incidents that I studied about just absolutely blew my mind was that they had a helicopter crash in a poppy field and the U.S. government reimbursed the farmer for his crop loss.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know that. It makes sense, though.
Well, we look at that, and then now that we have invaded Afghanistan and we've been there for 19 years, which is something that Americans, again, cannot understand, is how does the mightiest, most mighty military on the planet go to a country where all they have are RPGs and AK-47s? They have no Navy, no Air Force, no Marine Corps. How do we go up against a country like that with very limited resources, and 19 years later, we still haven't won the war?
Well, yeah, I don't think they have any intention of winning the war. I think really, you know, a big part of what's going on there is simply having, you know, troops in place that we can reshape their culture and create the kind of society that we want to have in Afghanistan rather than their, you know, organically grown civilization that they want to create on their own.
Well, the other thing that I would like to delve into as we're talking about legal drugs, prescription drugs, is to go into the story of school shootings. And we really experienced a lot of those until we had COVID-19. So COVID-19 is the 2020 version of school shootings. So we have the school shootings that took place with all but one that I can investigate, and I cannot find anything about the shooting in Jonesboro, Arkansas, where the perpetrators were involved with prescription drugs. But almost every one of the others, including Columbine and some of the big shootings, and especially the Aurora, Colorado shooting of the theater, all of the subjects were on mind-altering drugs. So we go back to MK Ultra. How easy is it to use those drugs and then to go into some form of hypnosis? Because what kind of guy walks in and shoots up a theater with his AR-15, his Bushmaster, and then goes walking back to his car and sits down and waits for the cops to get there?
That's happened in quite a few of those cases. The guy that shot John Lennon did the same thing. He just simply sat down and waited for the cops to come. And there's a couple other cases where that happened as well.
Well, to me, it's absolutely amazing. And one of the things I would like to get, there's so many things to go into here. And one of the things I have been researching lately is, Dave, are you familiar with what is called the concrete stage of human mind development?
No, I'm not.
Okay. My wife was an educator for 30 years. And she brought this up to me when I was really working on mind control and some other things a few years back for an article. And she said, well, you do realize that the majority of Americans never get out of the concrete stage of mind development. And of course, she had taken quite a few psychology. And I said, oh, okay, well, tell me, what the hell is that? And she said, well, the concrete stage is usually encompasses the age from 7 to 11 to 13. And what we have at that stage is a people who can deal with inductive logic, but cannot process deductive logic. And I said, okay, well, that sounds pretty, but tell me, give me a better example. And so the example given was A equals B and B equals C, but that's inductive logic. But then to say, okay, A equals C is deductive logic. So they're able to process information, but they are not able to take that information to a logical conclusion. And I believe today, when I look at people today, when you start giving them facts and, you know, nothing stands out better than 9/11, you can show people all day long the videos of World Trade Center Building Number 7 collapsing into its own footprint at free fall speed. If you watch it in slow motion, you can see as the explosion starts in the top of the building in the penthouse section, and you can see everything as it comes all the way to the ground, and it was not hit by a plane. It was not hit by anything. Yeah. And you can, people can look at that, and then they will not believe, they cannot come to the logical conclusion that something happened to that building that had to be introduced somehow. It just, buildings do not just crumble into their footprint. But people
right,
will not believe it.
Especially ones that are made out of, you know, steel girders and concrete. You know, and the thing is, you know, so many people, it really is true that the saying, you know, I guess it was Goebbels that said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a big one, because the people are more likely to believe it. It's hard for people to comprehend the possibility that that was done on purpose by people on the inside, or the, you know, the secret government, whatever you want to call them. It's just too big of a lie for people to comprehend. So they say, no, it's impossible.
Right. And then, again, one of the things I studied was you go back to the 20s and 30s to where the people of this country were induced into believing the wonderful stories that were told on radio. Radio became the medium, and we all know about the fireside chats. We know about people sitting around and listening to FDR with these fireside chats. And so you take a medium and you introduce levels of truth until the people trust that medium. And then once people trust that medium as a truthful source, then you begin your mind control and your infiltration of lies. Because it's an accepted source, so then you put them out there. I, as we discussed a little earlier, I was a little bit, astounded that to learn that the old radio show, which became a TV show, called Amos and Andy, was actually part of that program under FDR to get the black people to accept the New Deal. And they would put certain objects in there. And now, you know, if you're attuned to these things, I can sit and watch a modern day TV show, like I think one that usually has so many mind control points into it, something like NCIS, which is very popular with NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans. And there are usually, at least in every episode, a little mind control part. And that mind control part might be, well, did you know he had an unregistered gun? Which immediately makes him a criminal on that show. But the fact is, you do not have to register your firearms in the majority of places, although they're registered through the government with their 4473s. But there are so many of those things, and how many times on these shows have we watched the bad guy have his house or home or her house or home raided unconstitutionally outside of the parameters of the Fourth Amendment, but it's accepted as okay because they're getting a bad guy. That is a form of mind control. You are conditioning people, and the show Cops did that for years. You are conditioning the minds of a people to accept the actions of government, which are unconstitutional and illegal, but they are gaining a good purpose.
Right. Yeah. So it's like the raid on the compound of Randy Weaver. They always call it a compound instead of his private property. And he sold a shotgun to an FBI agent that was like 3/4 of an inch too short. And that was the premise for them, you know, going in there and shooting, you know, his wife and his dogs and all, you know, just completely destroying his life.
Well, I was fortunate enough to meet Randy Weaver in Tucson, Arizona, back probably 98, 99, somewhere in there. He came to Tucson, Arizona, gave a program, and there were some things I hadn't heard about. And one of those was he said that when he was asked, he knew the guy. He said he knew the guy was a BATF informant. And so when the guy would come to him with shotguns, he would saw them off, saw the barrels off for the guy at precisely 18 inches. And usually he said about a little over 18 inches to make sure, because he knew this guy was working for the BATF. And he was playing him along, so he would cut the barrels off with his hacksaw, but a little over 18 inches. He said what the BATF did after he cut them off to prove it was the same shotgun, they cut off portions of the stock to make the overall length case. Not the barrel length, but the overall length of the firearm.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. That is just outrageous.
And that was his story. That's what he said. And, you know, why would he lie? And then especially considering that the BATF and the courts changed his court date and didn't notify him.
Oh, so, yeah. And that guy had spent like over a year sucking up to him and becoming his, quote, friend. You know, to get his confidence. And it shows you, you know, how much time and energy and money the FBI is willing to waste on setting people up.
Well, he also said that he was approached by federal authorities to become an informant for them going into the Area Nations meeting because Randy had gone to several Area Nations meetings and was accepted to some level. And so he wanted to, they wanted him to become an inside snitch for them. And he told them not no, but hell no. And he still believed at that time in the late 90s that that was one of the reasons they came after him was because he refused to be a snitch for them.
Oh yeah. There's no question. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
So mind control, if you will, you know, however you want to do that. But I'll tell you one thing. If you can afford it, if it's still available, order the transcripts for the trial of Randy Weaver. They were available a few years back. I have the complete transcripts of the Randy Weaver trial, and no one covered that in the media. And it wasn't known that during that trial that the federal judge found the FBI and the prosecution in contempt on 7 different occasions during the trial. They withheld evidence. They altered evidence. It was just absolutely unreal. But the media was not going to report to the American people that the FBI was doing that in a trial, or the federal prosecution, the U.S. attorney, was doing that during a trial.
Wow. Yeah, you know, there was a college professor that wrote a book on the FBI's history of infiltrating groups and you know, doing exactly what you're talking about. And you know, he even wrote about how they by the 1960s, they had infiltrated the Ku Klux Klan so deeply that nearly half of the so-called members were FBI informants. And for writing that book, this guy got his tenure taken away from him.
Right. Well, you know, you can't give away what the government is doing, because that is very unprofitable. I promise you it is unprofitable. And the number of times they have used these, you know, how many people know that the FBI provided the explosives for the first World Trade Center bombing?
Right.
I think the guy's name was Yusuf, that they actually provided the materials that was supposed to be the bomb. The FBI provided them, and still he gets charged.
Yeah, they've done that with several of these so-called Muslim terrorists. There was some guy, I don't remember his name, but he was a Somalian, and he had a room temperature IQ. He was, you know, he had learning disabilities, and they literally gave him a phony bomb and a cell phone and said, "Here's the bomb. You know, go blow something up." And as soon as he, you know, dialed the right number for the, you know, to supposedly set off the bomb, they arrested him.
Exactly. And, you know, I know we're coming up on the break, but one of the things you could get into, if you want to get into those type of crazy infiltrations by the feds, go back to the BATF and the bikers of this country.
Oh, yeah.
See you on the other side, folks.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. with your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Dare to Think Out Loud. And if you're tuning in a little late and you expected to hear the voice of LB, we apologize. LB is on a sabbatical and will be gone for about 2 weeks. And Dave Scorpio and I are going to do our best to maintain the tradition here as we move along. But Dave, before the break, we were talking about the infiltration of, Randy Weaver and others, and how many millions and millions of the taxpayer dollars have been spent on these false deals. And one of the things that popped into my mind as you said that was the shooting on Mother's Day. I forgot what year it was, maybe 14 or 15, the shooting on Mother's Day in Waco, Texas, at the Twin Peaks restaurant, to where allegedly there was a group of bikers got into a shootout. And, you know, I think there were 9 killed. If you look into exactly what happened at that, it becomes such a travesty. And you see how the government manipulates the truth and everything that they do, which is a form of mind control. But everyone was ready to sign off on these terrible bikers because they had gotten into a shootout in Waco, Texas. But what they don't tell you is that every biker there after the shootout, whether they were involved or not, was arrested and charged. All of them, 180 some of them, charged on the same charge, and all of their motorcycles were confiscated.
Wow.
And all of these people were taken into custody. All of the warrants read the same way for every individual there. And then the real scary part is when you find out that through the autopsies, now this wasn't on the news, I promise you that Anderson Cooper or Rachel Maddow are not going to talk about this. Neither is Fox News. But when they found out that the majority of those killed there were killed with a 223 round to the head, traveling in a downward direction.
Snipers.
So these guys, and you know, if you're in a shootout with your pistol on the ground, chances are you're not going to be killed with a 5.56 from traveling in a downward trajectory with a headshot. So it's obvious then that this has been such a travesty in the courts in Texas. It is unreal, but the media will not touch it. The lies and everything that have been propagated against these people by the government and the absolute miscarriage of justice is not reported at all, and that is a crime in itself. But here is the thing that I want to get into before we go into the other forms of mind control. And that is that law enforcement entities have created, along with their fellow criminals in the prosecutorial department, have created huge news stories over the past few decades in which hundreds of these motorcycle gang members have been arrested for all sorts of criminal acts. But very little, if ever, publicly revealed about the outcomes of these huge sting and undercover operations. All the public hears is, oh, well, we arrested all of these crazy bikers, and, you know, they were all charged with, you know, RICO, they were charged with this, they were charged with that. But the stories of the multitudes of arrests of members of these gangs, as they call them, are all over the front page of the newspapers and front and center with the talking plastic heads on television. But seldom seen are the dismissals of the charges and the results of subsequent lawsuits against the authorities because of these alleged sting operations. Now I'm going to give you one.
Weaver got several million dollars in judgment, I believe.
Yeah, and the federal government, the people who perpetrated the act, Dave, didn't pay that. The American taxpayer paid that.
Right.
It didn't come out of the pockets of the people who actually performed the crime. So I wanted to go into a prime example here, and this is 10 years old, but it's a great example, is in the arrest in 2010 of those claimed to be members of the outlaw motorcycle gang known as the Vagos in Riverside County, California. It seems that the local district attorney found himself embroiled in a very tight race for re-election. Now, this happened again with the lacrosse team at Duke University. The same dynamic, a prosecutor fighting for his political life in an election chooses to do a huge bust for the news media to gain votes. And this is one that is exactly that. It seems that the local district attorney in Riverside County, California, found himself embroiled in a very tight race for re-election. The sitting DA believed that a huge event depicting his and local law enforcement's bravery and professional skill would ensure his re-election. As I said before, the Duke University lacrosse team is very familiar with this scenario. Perhaps they should have been labeled an outlaw gang. But in the case of the Vagos Motorcycle Club, the Riverside County DA and several accomplices in local law enforcement there accused several members of the Vagos with attacks on police, specifically the Hemet, California police. After all, the Vagos were a gang, outlaws, and one percenters, according to the DA and his lackeys in law enforcement. The DA's name was Pacheco, and he spearheaded a series of raids against the Vagos and Hemet and throughout Riverside County on St. Patrick's Day of 2010. Timed in the midst of several attacks on Hemet police, according to ABC News, blaming the conveniently and previously demonized for crimes they didn't commit seems to be a most favored attack model perpetrated by government on any who oppose their questionable actions. In this case, like the one against the Duke University lacrosse team, the lies of the government hacks were eventually exposed. In August of 2011, Riverside County, California, settled a lawsuit with the Vagos Motorcycle Club and admitted, though they refused to apologize publicly, that the Vagos were not involved in any attacks on the police and cited statements by the former DA to have been offensive and unfortunate. Can you imagine that?
It's unfortunate. Yeah, so many unfortunate things. And, you know, Mike, what I see on the big picture of these FBI infiltrations, you know, the FBI was even infiltrating UFO groups back in the 1950s. Really, they don't want any kind of group of people growing very large without government control. That's really what I see.
Well, it scares them, Dave. If any group is beginning to gain any kind of popularity and public acceptance, it becomes a chink or a crack in their armor, their veneer of control. They cannot allow that, and anyone who presents that is going to be attacked at some level by this group. But to get back to mind control, in the book Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien, she said that Virginia Tech University in Virginia, actually, surprise, surprise, was known for two things, engineering and mind control. So what federal agency is headquartered or was headquartered at Virginia Tech University, Dave?
DARPA.
Exactly. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Okay, a few years ago, they came out, and I believe you can still find it on Google. DARPA came out with a new helmet for soldiers which they claimed once the soldier put the helmet on that the soldier's mind was taken over by signals, radio signals, was taken over, and the soldier, this would be so great because soldiers would no longer experience fear or anxiety and would follow orders without question. They admit this.
Right.
So one of the things I wondered about the time this came out, Dave, was how would they know that it worked if they hadn't tried it out in some form?
Right. And, you know, you've referenced Kathy O'Brien's book several times. One of the most interesting things I found in that book was that, according to her, there was sort of a split within this group, whatever you want to call them. One side wanted to use trauma-based mind control and drugs to control people, and the other faction believed that technology was the ultimate answer for mind control.
Exactly. And that's why it's, I believe it's such a good read, because I believe they went forward with both aspects of that. But to get back to Virginia Tech, Dave, can you remember a mass school shooting ever taking place at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, just that one by the, I think it was a Korean or a Chinese guy.
Exactly. And what, 40-some people were shot and killed?
Yeah, it was a huge, very big one, yeah.
Okay, and so on campus you have DARPA, which is a mind control, and you have a student who goes wacko, and the one thing that's not reported very much is 2 days before that, someone walked, I believe it was 2 days, it was very close proximity, someone walks up to a campus police officer in his car and shoots him dead. And so that also occurred, but it was all made oblivious by the all of the news media around Virginia Tech. But then when within a few short number of years, we had a massive shooting of all places at Fort Hood, Texas. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Who was the guy who was involved in that shooting?
Wasn't that he was an army officer, but he was like a Muslim, wasn't he?
Major Hassan.
Yeah.
Okay. Major Hassan, after the shooting, army came out and said that, well, there had been several red flags about him. Well, if there had been several red flags that came up about him, why is he still active duty and still? But that is not the story. Where had Major Hassan just transferred from to Fort Hood, Texas?
Well, I'm going to guess Virginia Tech.
Exactly. Major
Wow.
Hassan had been at DARPA, and he had been involved in what was called the Warrior Reset Program at Virginia Tech. And so what was involved in the Warrior Reset Program? Well, they were working on what had been developed in the Soviet Union or Russia for a program that they had used to deal with PTSD in their Afghan veterans who were also committing suicide by crazy numbers and killing each other by crazy numbers. So they gave them, put them on a mind control type program to get them back to warrior reset. The problem was in the Russian study, which I found some reports on, in the Russian study, it got worse. They started killing each other and started killing their families while on this program. So then the U.S. government decides, oh, whoopee, wow, let's get us some of that. And so they bring that program to Virginia Tech, to DARPA. And then we have the school shooting at Virginia Tech. And then Major Hassan slips off down to Fort Hood, Texas, and shoots a bunch of people at Fort Hood, Texas. Imagine that. What's the common denominator?
Wow, yeah, DARPA.
So back in 2009, I believe it was, I wrote two articles on that Fort Hood shooting, and there were so many anomalies to that that made no sense, because shortly after the shooting, of course, they shut down every cell phone tower in the district, so no one could call in or out to Fort Hood or the Fort Hood area. And then the next thing was, is the post commander comes on TV and says that there were three suspects. Two of them had been apprehended at the golf course. And he said that they were, that they're multiple suspects. Well, right. within hours, there's only one guy.
Yes.
And here's the thing for anyone who has ever been on a military installation. You're at Fort Hood, Texas, which is a pretty big post. Okay, who was the arresting officer who stopped who's Hassan?
I don't know that.
That was a female officer from the local police department. So with all of the military facilities, all of the military personnel, MPs, and everything they had at Fort Hood, they had to wait for a local policeman to come in from Killeen, Texas, to arrest Hassan and to stop him from shooting people. Now, in what world does that make sense?
Yeah, that's bizarre. It's almost like they just wanted to just let him do his thing as long as they could.
I found that just absolutely unreal. Of course, again, Anderson Cooper is not going to tell you this on CNN. Neither is Rachel Maddow or Tucker Carlson on Fox, which is also something that cracks me up when people don't know what close friends Tucker Carlson and Joe Biden's son are. But let's forget that. You know, we can't be telling people stuff that would make them start thinking for a change. But again, looking at all of the increase in drugs, prescription drugs, and then we have, of course, the epidemic of illegal drugs on many cases, cocaine, crack, meth, all of the different things that are out there. We have a drug-induced society, either legal or illegal drugs, and then mix in 24 hours a day news programming, which is also a form of mind control. And then, as I alluded to before, you've got your you've got your popular primetime shows giving you portions of mind control. And again, if you will really watch those, you will see it. You will see where they come out with their little pieces of mind control, especially as it relates to guns and guns being illegal and all the other stuff, and guns being bad. That is one of the major themes.
And especially if you look at the flicker rate in television itself, just the actual, machinery of television, that puts people into a trance-like state to make them more susceptible to the propaganda and mind control.
Exactly. And that is why years ago I started referring to television as the lobotomy box.
Yeah.
So you have Americans, and what is the average TV consumption time of a young person in America now, Dave? Let's do between the TV and between their handheld devices, which are also used for mind control, and anything that goes against the government's line or against the government's propaganda is being eliminated. We have seen it on Facebook. We have seen it on Twitter and other YouTube. If you oppose the government's line, you are eliminated.
That's right. And, Mike, a few months back, I was watching a documentary on China, and as sort of a corollary story in this documentary, there was a story about the internet and how there was this Chinese guy that sort of was an activist trying to make change within China, which is, absurd. But essentially what happened to him is that in China, you can be completely cut off the internet. You have to have a government ID number to get on the internet. And without that, you cannot even access the internet.
Wow, Dave, you know what you just described under the I'm trying to think what administration it was. You have just described exactly what Hillary Clinton proposed for America several years back, and she said that the internet needed a gateway to where people would have to have prior government approval to access the internet.
Right. And well, I think they're just making baby steps toward that with, you're getting banned from Facebook. You're banned for a week from Twitter or whatever. That'll be the ultimate end game.
Well, one of the things we know for sure, Dave, if you've kept up for this for decades, one of the things that becomes quite evident is when the government pitches a program that they want and they put it out there and they have multiple resources saying the same thing over and over and over, which is a form of mind control. So you have people hearing the same thing over and over. If the people reject it, the government does not give up. The government backs up and they come at it from a different angle. And they eventually get exactly what they want one way or the other. The one thing that these people are is patient. Except for now, I think they've reached the point now where they can no longer be patient. This thing is coming apart, and we have discussed this on, I believe, on your show, Dave, where we talked about the fact that 2019 was the first year in the history of the United States that the revenues collected would not pay the interest on the debt.
Right. That was in 2019, right?
That is correct. So what happens after that? But of course, I believe this was in the planning stage long before that. And we have programmed, I'm trying to think of the exact term that was used, but you know, in 2017, in January, there's videos of it. He can't deny it. In January of 2017, Dr. Fauci, who had been involved in the creation of Corona and had been given millions of dollars by the Gates Foundation to develop this Corona. And this is something that's very important. People, the coronavirus does not appear in nature. It's a man-made virus. It does not appear alone in nature, and no one can show where it has ever appeared alone in nature. So it's a man-made virus, probably produced in Wuhan in China, where we had a facility where we moved the production from Fort Detrick, Maryland to Wuhan, China. And so we come up with and guess what? We got a patent on that. And of course, now right. they will tell you, fact checkers will tell you, well, yes, the U.S. government has a patent on COVID, but it's not this COVID. Well, how do we know that? Do we have to take their word for it? This is a bioweapon. Yeah. It's a bioweapon. Why does anyone create a bioweapon? So if you need to get a mind-controlled society that is so deep into their mind control that they believe that someone they have never met and never talked to is the second coming and has to be obeyed at any level. And the most important part about that, Dave, is if you get the people on the right, if you get the conservative Christians to believe this, if you get these people who refer to themselves by that phrase, I didn't say they were that. If you get to the people who refer to themselves as that, then you will understand that once you control that segment of society, they already control the other side. They already controlled the socialist, and they had done that through the public school system over the years and with mind control as well, but especially the school system, which is a form of mind control. Because you are indoctrinated, you're not educated. So they have done that, and they have created the socialist, the Marxist culture on the left. So then if you need to take over the country, the second thing you need to do is to take over the other side. You have polarized the people into two segments with emotionalism. And so if I was going to attack Trump and to make him to be just someone that the right just absolutely loved and adored and made into a cult figure, what I would do is to put 24 attacks against him by the people that the people on the right hate, those cultural Marxists, those leftists, those liberals, I would put him under 24-hour attack by that group, which just is a mind control measure to make the people on the other side love and trust him even more. Not because of what he's done, but because of what the other side has done. It's a classic mind control move. Well, Dave, we're coming up on top of the hour. You got anything you want to rattle by us until we're ready for that break? And then I would like for you to start off at the top of the hour with your thoughts on this.
Sure. Well, Mike, you know, the problem they have with these bioengineered viruses is the concept of virus attenuation, which is, you know, viruses are always mutating once they get out into nature, and they almost always become less deadly, less powerful. And so we have a situation now where they're having to pad the numbers and making it look like, oh, we have this horrible, horrible disease, but it's really not much of anything now. It's all just a bunch of hype. And, you know, Dr. Fauci and some other experts have said that we're going to have to keep up with the social distancing and the masking even after we have a vaccine.
Which means we have to control you even after we jab you with stuff that's going to sterilize you and possibly kill you.
Right. Right.
So we still have to have control. And see, this is, you have to have mind control to get millions of people out of fear to take an injection of something they have no idea what it is. Adolf Hitler was probably rolling in his grave that he didn't come up with this idea, because then he wouldn't have had to build all those ovens.
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably the greatest mind control event ever. And because it focuses on the fear of death and conformity.
Absolutely. It is when you look at it objectively, when you take your emotions out of the equation and you step back. OK, we're coming up on the top of the hour, folks. Let's go on through, and Dave is going to lead us off on the other side.
Against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
We're not anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh, welcome back, everyone, to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, to Dare to Think Out Loud. And we are discussing mind control, and I want to get into another phase of that, but I want to give my friend Dave Scorpio a chance to... elucidate and enlighten our path. So have at it, Dave.
Well, Mike, you know, earlier you referenced that the government is going to move very fast moving forward, and I believe that's true because I think we're reaching the end game of this where the government is going to attempt to control every aspect of people's lives in perpetuity. And, you know, it all comes into this Agenda 2030 with the environment, and, you know, you're going to control how much carbon footprint you have. And I believe that they're going to make this COVID protocol permanent until they have absolute control over everything.
Well, I certainly will not postulate an argument against that because I think that is their end game and has been for some time. And the complete regulation and control of everyone's lives, which is, you know, a totalitarian society. And that is where they're shooting for. But that goes back to my point. You have to neutralize the right or the conservative element. You have to neutralize that if you want that to happen. So how do you neutralize that is you give them a demigod who will lead them down that path to submission. And I know everybody's going to say, oh, well, he's not going to do that. Trump's not going to do that. No. Well, you know, the only thing I got to tell you is warp speed. We'll take the guns first, due process second. And we can name several of those, especially with the fact that he just absolutely put, known New World Order globalist into his cabinet at an astounding rate. Just as much as anybody else who's been there. So that is, something. And yeah, if you're going to do a complete takeover, you have to take over the complete society. And that is the mind control thing. You put this man up there as president. You know, he claims he's trying to do everything in the world for the American people. He was going to build a wall. Hillary was going to jail. All of these things were going to happen. So when it didn't happen, you come up with this fake Q crap that Q says, okay, well, we've got all these sealed indictments, which he said 2 years ago. Okay, what good is a sealed indictment in a corrupt court system?
Yeah, and it's kind of like the last gasp of Q now, I believe, is this idea that, you know, Trump was setting up all the Democrats to cheat so he could catch all of them and show the corruption, and we're gonna overturn everything, and, you know, there's gonna be arrests all over the country. And, you know, that Steve Pachenik guy, a week ago or so, one of these, you know, former CIA agents was saying that all the ballots were watermarked with this secret watermark that's going to prove the corruption and the cheating, and the arrests are going to start tonight. Well, of course, none of it happened.
Right. And then you have, I was rather pleased yesterday. Are you familiar with Larry Klayman?
Larry Klayman. That sounds familiar. Who is he?
He was the founder of Judicial Watch, and over the years, I have to give him credit, Larry Klayman has been involved with multiple lawsuits against the U.S. government.
Right.
I listened to a broadcast yesterday where Larry Klayman, I'm not sure how old it was, but I was listening to a broadcast with him, and I was absolutely astounded to hear a lawyer make the statement that he made yesterday, and he said, revolution is the only answer. And I want it to be peaceful. I'm hoping it can be a peaceful revolution. I hope we can do this peacefully. He said, I have to tell you, if you think that there is any recourse for justice in the American judicial system, you are having a wet dream, because it is not going to happen. Because the judicial branch is the most corrupt branch of the three branches of government. He went into detail how several of the judges, speaking names, he called out names. He said, forget Brett Kavanaugh. He is owned and controlled by the left. And, isn't that funny? Who was it nominated him for Supreme Court? Gosh, it slips my mind.
Yeah.
But, and that was the thing that just absolutely amazed me, but it goes to my point. When you see the same thing in a microcosm. So Brett Kavanaugh is nominated for the Supreme Court, and the left starts an attack, a full-fledged attack against Kavanaugh with this sex thing when he was young.
Well, yeah, just bizarre charges.
Yeah, I believe you could get everybody for being involved in sex when they were young. But anyway, that is a wide open field. But anyway, you end up going after him, and nothing of substance is ever brought up during his hearing because of this media-controlled attack against him. So how do you get the right to support a leftist who, as a U.S. attorney, covered up Vince Foster's murder for the Clintons? How do you get him on the Supreme Court? How do you get the right to support him? Will you get the left to attack him?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great, Mike, that's a really insightful look into the play they made. Because, he helped the cover-up of Vince Foster and worked closely with the Clintons.
Exactly. And he's got his reward now. He's got a lifetime where he will sit there and absolutely do nothing. And Larry Klayman says, don't depend on him for a decision, because he's going to go with the people who owns him. And he made that statement very plain and very clear. And, I would think that if he made that statement against someone in public, and the person, isn't that called libel or slander if it's not true?
Right.
And so he made that as a public statement, and then he talked about John Roberts. And he said, John Roberts is not going to vote conservatively. Forget that. And let me see. Who was it brought John Roberts to the court? Oh, it wasn't a liberal.
And Bush.
So, look, this is such a setup. We're living a setup. And again, the way you get the right to go along with a leftist program is to use the left to attack them.
Yeah, it's like a football game. And of course, John Roberts is a member of the Knights of Malta. He's in essentially a secret society there.
Well, believing that, and I know I'm going to make a whole lot more enemies, But believing Trump is going to lead us out of this is analogous to an ant walking up an elephant's hind leg with rape on his mind.
Well, and the thing is, even if you believe Trump was a real character and sincere, it's clear that the apparatus, the entire political apparatus, is behind a certain agenda. And it's so all pervasive. They've created their own culture that's completely detached from anything that the American people might want for their country.
Well, I had someone tell me earlier this week, well, look at how Trump has fought for the unborn with Planned Parenthood. I said, well, you know, that's really neat, but why didn't he sign an executive order abolishing abortion?
Well, and Planned Parenthood got $500 million under his watch, so, you know.
Well, you know, gosh, you know, that was just a paltry sum, Dave.
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, you know, what are they going to do with that? They can't even buy toilet paper with that.
Right.
But it is amazing to me, the mind control. But then there is this thing called, and you and I talked about this earlier, and I put this in kind of a promo on Facebook for today's program. The mind control does what's called predictive programming. And so we've mentioned predictive programming with Fauci in 2017 saying Trump would be hit with a mystery virus in 2020. Well, again, how did he know? Let's go then again to Max Boot, who is a neocon extraordinaire, who was John McCain's foreign policy advisor. And then became a journalist and a writer for Washington Post, Pravda on the Potomac. And he writes for them. And he also appears on PMSNBC as a some kind of an expert from time to time. And so what did he write? He wrote an article on July the 6th of this year. Now, imagine this. It's July. And you are months away, although it's election season, you are months away from the actual election. So you write an article titled, "What If Trump Loses and Refuses to Step Down?" Now, why would you want to put that thought in anybody's mind back in July? And then why would you want to participate prior to writing that article? Why would you want to participate in a focus group where you go over various scenarios of what would happen if Trump loses but refuses to step down?
Well, especially when that's an event that's never occurred in the history of the country. There's never been a president that refused to leave office.
So are you trying to say that Mr. Boot didn't have any precedent for that article? Oh, my, Dave. Really?
Yeah.
He just came up with that just right off the top of his head. Yeah, okay.
Right.
So there we have Mr. Boot coming up with this suggestion, which means that if people saw this and then it comes floating back through their head, well, you know, what year? Let's jump back again here, Dave. What year did the U.S. government get a patent on the coronavirus?
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm not exactly sure. What year was that?
I'm thinking it was either 1999 or 2000, somewhere in that range. So, Dave, have you ever watched the TV show Law and Order?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, well, there was an episode in 2003 where, of all things, they found a container in the back of a car that had a mystery new virus known as COVID.
Right. In fact, there was another show. I can't remember the name of it, but there was another show around that same time period that had a whole episode about a COVID virus. And, you know, it's spreading like wildfire and it was all this trouble in society. It was incredible. I can't remember the name of the show, though.
Right. They did that. You know, and that is incredible as well. So, actually, I was trying to think, maybe you can help me understand this. What book was it that inspired COVID? This was actually...
Wasn't it a Dean Koontz book?
There you go. I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Where this exact scenario was written about.
Yes, well, yes.
Well, did
from the 80s.
Yeah, did somebody in government go read that and say, ooh, I believe we can try that on Bubas because Bubas has the attention span of an Irish setter. And that's being tough on the dog. I'm sorry. But the American people have no attention span because they're stuck in that concrete stage of mental development. And look at how people are acting today. Are people not acting like junior high people? Is that not a really good description of the way people are acting now?
Yeah, yeah. And here we have a situation where the government is actively taking a wrecking ball to the economy and then saying, well, we're going to print up $2 trillion because we got to help the people that can't work. And you can just see that they're going to run up this debt so high that it's going to be a catastrophe. And at the same time, we're going to get everyone hooked on a government check because we destroyed the economy.
Yeah, well, there was another book, wasn't it? A 1980s sci-fi novel that described a disease called Wuhan 400. But of course, now the fact checkers are saying it bears little similarity to the virus we have today. Where did they come up with the Wuhan thing if it has no similarity?
Yeah.
And this was a book that was written about the prophecies about the end of the world. And that was written in 2008. And it says, written in 2008, this book predicts that a pneumonia-like illness would spread across the world in the year 2020.
Wow. Wow. But, you know, isn't it strange, Mike, and I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, speaking of Wuhan, you know, China has eradicated the virus, supposedly, or at least to the point where their economy is fully open. They're, 100% production. And meanwhile, all the economies of the West are shutting down and going back into lockdown. It almost seems like they're deliberately handing over the world economy to China through this.
Well, surely not. Actually, we're handing over the world's economy to the bankers. And that goes back to our favorite subject, 1987 in Estes Park, Colorado. And if people can't draw the lines from there to here, there is some, I have some oceanfront property in Kansas for sale.
Well, Mike, maybe you could sketch out the Estes Park's meetings for those listening that may not have heard the show on that.
Well, Estes Park happens in 1987. It is done under the auspices of a, save the planet type, save the reindeer. It's all of that. They have this big meeting, but the secret meeting took place with people like Maurice Strong, the good Rothschild banker from France at the time. And, of course, the keynote speaker was the Secretary of Treasury of the United States, the well-known New World Order James Baker, who was in many presidential administrations, and, of course, a CFR member. And so he gives the keynote address, and at the keynote address for this select group of people, not all of the people who were there to save the reindeer, but the select group that was actually the purpose of the meeting, they meet, and James Baker, in his keynote address, tells the people that the World Bank should no longer have to make loans to countries and their debts be unsecured or just secured on the ability of the people to pay back revenue interest. So he says, what we need to do is to establish a bank wherein 34% of the surface area, land area of this planet would go into the bank to act as collateral to the world bankers. Well, Imagine that, 34%. The first thing that went in there was the Amazon River Valley that went into this bank. And then shortly thereafter, throughout the United States, we saw our national parks going into a World Conservancy, UN-led group. And you can find this plaque at Mesa Verde, at quite a few of the other national parks, the Grand Canyon, other parks, where you now see that these parks are now owned and controlled by an international conglomerate under the United Nations. And to believe that this happens right after Baker says that we need to put 34% of the landmass into a bank as collateral on debt. Well, now we have to wonder, are they now, with COVID-19, are they now preparing to confiscate the collateral for the debt we can't pay?
Right. And, you know, part of the mythology of COVID has been this notion that, you know, the virus transferred from bats or, you know, some wild animal onto humans. And they've done the same thing with the swine flu and the bird flu. And it seems to me like this sort of thinking is sort of softening people's minds for the idea that being out in nature is actually very dangerous because you might pick up a virus from an animal. It's best to stay in the cities and, of course, the mega cities that are planned by 2050.
Well, also, Dave, if you go west of the Mississippi River, and especially into western areas like Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, when you go into those areas, one of the most critical assets that the people have is water. Now, people in the southeast here, where I am now, they do not understand, and most of the people in east of the Mississippi do not understand the importance of water in the West. But agriculture, farms, ranchers depend on water, and the water comes in by snowfall, and the snow accumulation in the high mountains that then becomes, just water and flows down to the various rivers and tributaries, and how valuable that is out west. Well, we could do a show, Dave, on how the federal government has set about confiscating the water rights of the West.
Oh, absolutely, with the Wetlands Act and things like that.
And with people like Clinton declaring monuments like in Utah, where suddenly tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of acres are suddenly taken and people can't even go on them. That these monuments are declared. So, and we discussed with the Agenda 21 or Agenda 30 now, as they call it, that the goal was to push all of the people into concentrated areas. And it's actually stated in the Agenda 21 literature that the goal is sustainable development of 200 people per acre.
Right. And then they have these corridors where there's limited human use, and then there's whole swaths of land where there's no human use. It's really quite shocking when you look at what the end game of this plan really is.
Well, back in 2010, and during that 10 years ago, there was a sheriff elected in Colorado, and I helped support him. And he was elected, and he said one of the things, and I remember when I first met him and talked to him, he said, look, I have traveled around my county, and he said, I have asked people what do they think is the most dangerous thing that they face in an everyday life. And he said, I expected to hear drugs, maybe prostitution, maybe robbery. He said, but the thing that I heard the majority of the people said, federal interference in our everyday lives.
Wow.
Pardon me. So he set out to, do some things. And what was troubling people was that at that time, the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service was shutting down access to public lands. And people were finding gates across roads and everything else where they were shutting down access. Well, shutting down access made no sense. And then the BLM forced a family off of the property they had owned for years with ridiculous fines from the BLM, and they had to sell their property. So then the BLM takes that property and then uses that property to apply for water rights. Well, they wanted to take 6 gallons per second out of a water flow that where the people below that point were dependent upon that water for farming or ranching. Without that water, they're done. And that was it was totally unconstitutional. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, the Enclave Clause, states what property the federal government can legally own. And most of the property that the federal government claims in this country today is unconstitutionally owned. Of course, most people are so damn enthralled with politics, they don't know that, and most of them don't care. But then the second part of that was the fact that at that time, the Colorado Constitution stated that the water belonged to the people. Water did not belong to the government. It belonged to the people, and it was very succinctly stated. And I had a judge tell me in Durango, Colorado, that he was not bound by either of those two constitutions.
Well, Mike, what do you think is the agenda behind this attack on ranchers and water rights?
If you take the water, the people have to move. So what you do is you create more and more empty land, because if you have got a man who has made or a family that has made their living for generations by ranching out west, and you suddenly take away their water, they're done. They're out of business. That's what they tried to do with Clive and Bundy. You try to take their water away, you put them out of business, and then their property goes up for sale at very, very cheap prices, because either that or it's foreclosed if they have loans on it, and most farmers and ranchers have some kind of loan. So then it's foreclosed, and then who does it go to after it's foreclosed? The U.S. government.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're trying to reduce, and I believe trying to meet the demands of the Agenda 21, trying to meet the demands of that. Well, let's come back on the other side of the break. Thank you.
Now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Dare to Think Out Loud with Dave Scorpio and the Rebel Madman. We have been talking about mind control and the quicksand pit that America finds itself in today, of which much of it is their own making. You know, there are only so many people in government, and when a few thousand people in government can control 330 million people, the fault lies with the majority. But one of the things I wanted to mention, Dave, as we were talking about the water and how important it was out west, I know when I lived in Colorado, and it may have changed, that would be 4 or 5 years ago, it may have changed since then, but at the time that I lived there, you did not own the rain that fell on your property. You could not collect rainwater coming off of your house or your barn or anything else, because that water allegedly belonged to the people down the water tributaries, and therefore it did not belong to you. So that is how important the water is. And if you take, we talked about cattlemen, if you take farmers, take, for instance, the hay farmers in the West, and that's where a great amount of hay is actually grown. But if you take their water, if you take their irrigation away, they're done. So when people are done on property, if they can't pay for it anymore, then it's foreclosed by the bankers. And not only that, but then if there is no way of making a living on property, the value of that property decreases dramatically to almost being worthless. So then who's going to buy it up? No one's going to buy it up to use it, so then the government's going to acquire it again. So it's a massive transfer of wealth. If you can take the water, you can take their ability to provide for themselves and their families.
Yes, and I totally agree. And I think the other thing that's happening is it's controlling the food supply, because I believe that that's going to be another piece of the puzzle here that's going to be revealed very soon.
Yeah, exactly. Look what they, anyone who's traveled up and down Interstate 5 in California can see that readily when they see, because of the water allocation, which the wonderful Feinstein and, you know, that Pelosi, whatever you want to call her, Those people and others have brought in legislation in California that have put some farmers out of business there. And when you ride up and down Interstate 5 and you see those trees, those fruit trees that once produced fruits and nuts, and you see those trees that are now dead, that is a what I saw was a snapshot of what's to come for everybody, because if they're going to take the water away from those people, they're going to take it away from everybody eventually. It's a gradual process, because people never accept tyranny in one fell swoop. They will not do it. But if you give them gradual doses over a long period of time, they eventually succumb. Then you use the mind control, as we've talked about before.
Right. Yeah, and if you watch the enemy war footage known as the mainstream media news, they're dropping little breadcrumbs about, now the food shelves are coming empty sometimes, and they're showing these massive lines of people waiting to get their food distribution in their cars, and there's often a guy in a military outfit handing out the food. I find all that very disturbing, and of course, it's all to plant little seeds in your mind about what's coming.
Absolutely. It's called predictive programming. You are programming the minds of the people to accept the tyranny that you're going to place on them. And the mind says, okay, I saw that on TV, so now that it's here in reality, okay, yeah, all right, I understand it. It's not new. So you get into that concrete stage of development to where we can be inductive in our reasoning, but we cannot be deductive in our reasoning. And so we just blindly accept it because our God-called government is going to take care of us from the cradle to the grave, I promise.
Yeah, and it was John D. Rockefeller, I believe, that said, I want a nation of workers, not a nation of thinkers.
Well, he has, he's probably really happy, dancing around in the flames now, because look at what is, he has it. It's here. And if you look at the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation were the three foundations that took over the public fool system back around 1912 and brought about this dumbing down of America. And they brought that in to make sure that they were in compliance with the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. I believe that is plank number 10.
Right.
So, I don't see, and I've said this, I said this 20 years ago, I do not see a way out of this for the American public. But I also believe that at some point in time, it's not going to go the way that the international bankers planned. And I think, being a student of history, that there are going to be things happen that are going to disrupt their plan, because one of the things history tells us is just about the time everybody thinks they have control, has a chokehold on the world, the world responds in a way that you weren't predicting. Because the factors which you cannot control are the ones which destroy you.
That's a really good point. And, another thing that's happening is so much of stuff that used to be considered conspiracy theory is becoming self-evident because it's happening in real time. And I think once it dawns on people that if they don't do something, their children and their progeny in general are going to be sentenced to eternal slavery. That is the plan.
Well, there's so many things, Dave, when you start putting the pieces of this puzzle together, and I certainly don't have them all. I don't profess to have them all. But I was thinking the other day, and I was looking into, and you are familiar with the quote by William Casey in 1981, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Now, Casey said that as director of the CIA. Now, during Casey's confirmation hearings to be the director of the CIA, who was his strongest proponent in the U.S. Senate, Dave?
I'm not sure.
Joe Biden.
Ah.
So I found that rather unusual, especially when you get into the fact that during his confirmation process, prior to being confirmed, William Casey submitted his financial report, which is required, and in his financial report submitted to the Congress, he omitted quite a bit of his connections with various industrial parts of the country. He omitted quite a bit of his income and his personal wealth. He omitted quite a few things, and this was discovered during the confirmation process. Well, the aforementioned senator who covered, did everything going like a cat covering up you-know-what, the senator who worked so valiantly to make sure that this was not a determining factor in Casey's confirmation was, again, good old Sniffing Joe Biden.
Sniffer Joe and Groper Joe. Yeah, what a guy. And, you know, isn't it interesting how the mainstream media is depicting him as this wonderful, compassionate man that's he cares about people and he has compassion for people.
Well, he's spoken, I don't know how many times, about his growing up. He didn't grow up in Washington, D.C. He didn't have any connection with that. He was just a common Joe from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Well, you know, Joe, you've been in Washington, D.C. for half a century. and all of these things you say you're going to do for America now. Why didn't you think about doing those 47 years ago? Why is this suddenly a new thing for you? But you know what amazes me is how gullible the American people are and how they fall for this type of propaganda BS on both sides of the political spectrum.
Well, and this sort of goes back to what you were touching upon earlier in the show in the first hour, which is you get, you know, people so full of Trump hate, this Trump derangement syndrome, they call it. And then you offer this solution. It doesn't really matter who it is. At least it's not Trump.
Well, you know, and also if you wanted to get Trump's sympathy, what do you attack him with in 2016 and then again in 2020? You attack him with the neocon element of his party. And who attacked him? Well, the Bushes attacked him. You know, good old George H.W. in 2016 did that finger across the neck, across the throat. He did that gesture. You had that. And then you have the wonderful Mitt Romney, who is attacking, you know, attacked Trump and still continues in that vein. But of course, you notice that Mitt didn't protest Amy Coney Barrett too much.
Nobody seemed to, really.
Well, you know, I brought this up one time, and this would be the irony of all ironies, is that if this election goes to the Supreme Court, and it's a 4-4 tie, and Amy Coney Barrett votes for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And people, I've had people tell me, the Trump supporters, oh, that will never happen. She's the savior. She's going to single-handedly bring back the Supreme Court. Yeah, right. Okay, so this is what they're saying, because they have to hold on to a false hope. Because they have nothing else. They have nothing solid, so they have to hold on to a false hope. There are people who felt like, if you go back to the Affordable Care Act, there are people who felt like John Roberts would cast the deciding vote against Obamacare. And at the time, there were 37 states that were opposing Obamacare. That is a majority, a great majority, two-thirds majority of the states, I believe. That's very close, if it's not two-thirds majority, who were opposing Obamacare, and there were movements within those states to get rid of Obamacare. So what does the wonderful John Roberts do? But he comes out and he votes for it because he says that it was a tax. So therefore, it was constitutional when the legislation itself said it was not a tax. Now, Americans just accepted that and just kept on going. So what Americans have told this corrupt government time after time after time after time, after Oklahoma City, go back to the JFK assassination, go to 9/11, go to school shootings that are shot full of holes, go to the shooting in Las Vegas, which is shot full of holes.
Yeah.
Go through all of those things that if you, a reasonable person, looked at all the evidence, they would say, they would call bullshit on the government. But the American public keeps taking it. And they keep accepting it. And they do not do anything to fight back. And they believe that the answer is to be found in the ballot box. Well, guess what you just found out, people?
Yeah.
And I was talking with a former state senator from Arkansas, and we had a rather lengthy conversation last Sunday, and we were talking about corrupt elections, and he made the prescient comment was every election is corrupt. There is fraud in every election that he was ever aware of. And we know that, you know, the 1960 election was fraught with corruption, especially in Chicago.
Right.
But you can still get Bubis or Ignoramus Americanus, you can still get them to rush to the polls because they believe this is their only hope. And it doesn't make any difference how many times it smacks them upside the head, they still believe it's a hope. That is a mind-controlled populace. Because a populace that isn't mind-controlled tries that once and says, nah, that ain't working. We need to do something else. But you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity, whether Einstein said it or not.
Right. And what do you think, you know, it seems to me that this particular election has got, had the most blatant and the most massive voter fraud that we've ever experienced. And it seems to me if they get away with this, there won't ever be another election that has of any consequence whatsoever.
Well, you can say that, Dave, but you know those good old Christian conservatives are going to believe entirely different if they live to 2024.
Right. We just got to get the right guy in office. That's, yeah, the, that's the thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, I believe, along with the good senator, that the every election is corrupt. And he said that he had been involved in politics in Arkansas, and Arkansas is not an anomaly, people. I guarantee it's everywhere. He said that he had been involved, every election that he had been involved in was corrupt. And he was talking about this recent election in Arkansas, where when because of some of the election fraud that he witnessed as a candidate, that he actually proposed legislation as an Arkansas senator that would stop the political party control of the, any political party, Republican or Democrat, control of the elective process in the state. And because he said when the, under the Clinton administration, that the elective process in Arkansas had been completely controlled by the Democrat Party, that every election headquarters had Democrat Party people in it, and naturally, you know, which way are they going to lean? So, well, he wanted to write legislation to stop that, and he was opposed when he tried to write that legislation, and he told me now that he was getting calls from Democrats, and he was a Republican, he's getting calls from Democrats in Little Rock saying, you know, Brian, we sure as hell wish we would have helped you with that legislation because now it's biting us in the butt.
Well, what years was he involved in politics, roughly, Mike?
I believe, and I'm speaking for him. I think 2008 to 2018. I think at least 10 years, cool. Maybe longer.
Okay, so this is after they had voter machines and the more high tech ways of rigging votes. What was the basic modus operandi by which they were fixing the elections, according to him?
Well, he said in one of his elections that he got a call from a fellow senator, and he said, "Hey, because he was winning, and the last reports he was winning in Crawford County." And so he said, I got a call from one of my fellow Republican senators, and he said, "Hey, Brian, you better get over to Crawford County right away because they're reporting they just found 3 ballot boxes that they weren't aware of."
Oh, it was over there in the corner. We just didn't notice it before.
Well, go back to Boss, what was his name? Boss Tweed and... New York and the election fraud there for decades. Look at the election fraud in Chicago. Election fraud in Chicago is a way of life.
Oh yeah.
That is not an anomaly. That is the standard operating procedure. And that is where the election for John Kennedy turned in 1980.
1960.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. That's how it turned in 1960 for John Kennedy. And all of the evidence, if you go back and look at it, Richard Nixon won that election.
Yes.
But I was told by some pretty in-the-know people that Richard Nixon was told, "Hey, shut up, let this play out, and you will have your day. If you stand up, jump up and down, and bitch and scream, you will be dead politically." So Nixon swallowed everything, walked off. And who was president in 1968?
Right. Yeah, I wonder what the real cause of his removal was. Obviously, this whole Watergate story has as many holes in it as a piece of Swiss cheese. The idea that some rent-a-cop, security guard outsmarted, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt and caught them in the act of stealing documents from the DNC. It's just laughable on its face. I wonder what the real story was behind that.
Well, I was told, and that there had been because Nixon was winding down Vietnam, and Vietnam again was feeding the military-industrial complex 300 to 400% profits, and the as we've had war for 19 years now, no one wants a war over. Who's in that military-industrial complex. And in America today, that's about the only industry we have is war.
Right.
So no one wanted to shut that down. And I heard when Nixon started getting cold feet and was started because of all the protests and everything else, that Nixon wanted to try to wind down Vietnam, that there were a couple of assassination attempts, assassination programs, and the powers that be said, we just got rid of one president just a few years back. Maybe we better not try this so soon again. So let's get rid of him politically. So you're exactly right. To believe that those seasoned CIA operatives and assets would be so stupid as to leave a door open so a rent-a-cop could catch them, that's hilarious.
It really is when you think about it. But it's part of history now, Mike.
Yeah, well... Yeah, so is 9/11.
God. Yeah, that's amazing. That's a very good point, though, because, that was too early to do another assassination. And then, of course, we had Deep Throat feeding all the information to Bob Woodward, who was a member of the Scroll and Key Society, which is like Skull and Bones at Yale.
Right. Well, if you go back, you will find all of these people connected. And, our friend, John Breeson, probably has more of these connected dots when it comes to these characters. He's really done his research on that. And folks, I would suggest to go to YouTube and to follow John on We Have Read the Documents, because We've Read the Documents. John brings out connections that are just unreal. His connection bringing Mike Adams into all of the political world and the corruption, from Natural News, and bringing in Tucker Carlson and Hunter Biden's wonderful relationship. And he just does a magnificent job. So I highly recommend you folks sign up, subscribe to good old John at We've Read the Documents.
Yeah, you know, he made some great points about Tucker Carlson the other week. And, you know, I watched his show the last few nights, or on YouTube anyway, and he's been slowly backing away from this idea that there was voter fraud. On Friday, he said, the election's over. He said it two different times. And then on last night's episode, he kind of went into this thing about, there's no proof of any of these documents so far. There's no proof that there's any fraud. And he's just so slowly walking away from that and getting people onto other things that he's so, revealing.
Well, you know, I'm not saying this, but he may have been threatened with the removal of his YouTube channel.
Right.
So who knows? I'm not privy to that information, but I do know that John does excellent research. I wasn't aware that he was beginning to back off of the fraud thing because I thought he was all over that like a chicken on a June bug.
No. I meant Tucker Carlson, not John.
Oh, Tucker Carlson. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. And thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was. My point is that John was right about Tucker Carlson, and we're seeing him kind of back away from this notion of voter fraud, and he's doing it in a very clever, subtle way, and kind of massaging it slowly so that to lead people into other things that Tucker is fighting against, you know.
Oh, for sure. Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining us here today. You're a definite asset to any program. Appreciate that, and folks. Come back next week. We're nearing the end of the program. Come back next week and join us again on Dare to Think Out Loud. And LB, you're missed. So any parting words, Dave?
It was a really good conversation, Mike. And I thought you hit upon some things that were so important about how they play the left against the right and how to manipulate people into supporting the government from either side.
Well, and we are watching it in full bloom, my friend. Unfortunately for our fellow Americans, we're watching this come to a bloom and a production of the end results. And it is just so sad that this is actually happening.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Hey, thanks for tuning in. And we will see you again next week on Dare to Think Out Loud.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.